Everyone. Sorry, let me dump all of my things at the podium. Like Hillary said, my name is Bailey Edrington. I am a community group leader in Norman, and I'm really, really excited to be here with you today. So if you haven't already, you can join me on your phone or in your Bible in John 15. That's where we're going to camp out today. And today we are going to talk about how to cultivate an intimate relationship with God. And the word that Jesus uses to describe this is abiding. And I think we've likely all heard this word before. We've probably said it. We know we're supposed to do it. It sounds real fancy when we say it. But I think very few of us know how to walk this out practically. Very few of us have been explained, or that may just be me up here in alone. But what I want to do today is to walk us through how we abide in Christ practically, what that looks like, and then what that means for us as daughters of God. So, Brother Lawrence, the book that Heather mentioned that I will be teaching from today, he is a 17th century monk who wrote this book called The Practice of the Presence of God, and it's really sweet. I highly recommend it. But he says this: "There's no sweeter and delightful life than that of continual communion with God." And we want the women of Frontline South to, if nothing else, have deep roots in the love of God and have an intimate friendship with him. We do not need more women who know information about God or serve around him. We need more women who delight and abide in an intimate friendship with God. So let's go ahead and jump into our text. Today, I want to draw our attention to two things. There's a passive component to this and an active component, so like a gift to receive and then a practice of abiding. So we'll start in the gift of abiding. So the NIV and the CSB translates abide as remain. The Greek word is meno. It means to remain or abide, to not depart, to continue to be present. It's less active than what we think, though no less a command, but it doesn't require us changing our station or white-knuckling our way into abiding. We get to receive. So let's jump into verse 2 and notice who's doing these actions in these verses. Verse 2, "He, the Father, cuts off every branch in me, Jesus, that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Jump to verse 16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit." So we see that the Father is the great vine dresser, carefully tending the branches. Jesus is the vine, and he's lovingly supplying us everything we need to bear fruit through the Spirit. He picked up our dead and broken branch off the ground, and he breathed his resurrection life into us. He lanced the trunk of his vine and lovingly sewed our frail branch into the healthy flesh of his. And the same Spirit of life and power that flows through him now flows through us. We don't start from a posture of white-knuckling abiding. That's not where we start. We start by recognizing that we already abide as a gift of grace. We are a branch of his planting, as Isaiah 60:12 tells us. And that's good news. And I think there are a few ways we can posture our heart to receive that this morning. You have notes if you want to kind of follow along. The first is we remember our dependence. We receive the gift of abiding with humble awareness that without his love and common grace, we would cease to exist. If he stopped thinking about us for a second, we would no longer exist. In her book, Humble Roots, Hannah Anderson puts it this way: "Without God, we are nothing. Without his care, without his provision, without his love, we would still be dust. We cannot draw a breath, move a muscle, say a word without him knowing it intimately and providing for it. We remember our dependence upon him." Brother Lawrence says, "If we realized our need for the grace and assistance of God, we would never lose sight of him, not even for a moment." So I think that's where we start. And then second, after we remember our dependence, and we recognize that we are a branch connected to Christ's vine by grace, we remain in this truth. We do not depart from it in our hearts and our minds and our actions. And more on this in a minute, because it is actually a bit of a practice too, but I think it's important to note all that's required of us is to anchor our hearts here, to let our hearts make its dwelling place in Christ's sufficiency. And ultimately, the gift of abiding leads us to rejoice through worship. We didn't jump up and down in front of our great vine dresser and ask to be grafted in. We didn't plead our case of good works. There's nothing we could have done to earn or lose our place in the vine. And that should lead us to worship. Before you could do anything to earn it or lose it, Christ lavished his love on you. He died to cover the cost of your sin, and he grafted you into the family of God. And again, this knowledge should just lead us to reverent and joyful worship. The gift of abiding is its grace freely given by God, not the works of our own hands. So our first invitation is to receive the gift by remembering, remaining, and rejoicing in the finished life-giving work of Christ. And then we'll move into our practice. So when it comes to the practice of abiding, Brother Lawrence says, in order to form a habit of communing with God continually and committing everything we do to him, we must first make a special effort. After a while, we find that his love inwardly inspires us to do all things for him effortlessly. So I'm going to start this off with a little story. I am a proud dog mom to this little ball of wrinkles. You should see her picture up on the screen. Her name is Winnie. And when the volunteer dropped her off, Winnie's a rescue, and when the volunteer dropped her off, she explained how she'd been potty trained. And I did not think much of it at the time, but the fact marks my dog for better or worse, and everyone in my community group can give a yes and amen. So the method that they used to potty train her was called tether training. So what they did is they leashed Winnie up, and then they wrapped the other end of the leash around the volunteer's waist. And anywhere the volunteer went, Winnie went too. And the idea was anytime she would go potty in the house, the volunteer would be right there, would stop her and take her outside. But pretty quickly after I adopted Winnie, I realized that she is what they call a Velcro dog. She does not leave my presence. If I get up off the couch to move like two steps to pick something off, she will wake up from the deepest of slumbers to meet me on the floor. Like, it does not matter how far I'm going. She is the Ruth to my Naomi. Where I go, she goes. Where I stay, she stays. And she really has been trained to remain in the presence of her master. I can't break the habit, and at this point, I don't want to. I tried. It didn't work. And I think, like Winnie, I think we can train ourselves to remain in the presence of our master. I think we can leash ourselves to his presence for a bit, but eventually, we won't need that leash. It's just who we are. We become women who abide in the presence of our master and friend. So in the passage we read, Jesus tells us to abide in his love, which is a relational invitation. But how do we have a relationship with him in our everyday lives, between loads of laundry, making dinner, work, or grocery runs? I think we'll talk through some practical ways that we can practice conversational intimacy, with our maker. And this is not an all-inclusive list, nor is it prescriptive. But just start where you are and know that we won't become masters at abiding overnight. This is a lifelong journey. So to start, Jesus offers us guidance for loving God in Matthew 22:37. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." So just like any relationship, intimacy with God is learned. It grows deeper over time. It also requires our whole selves, mind, body, and soul. So to abide in love, we start by loving God with our minds, which moves to our hearts, and then it roots deep into our souls. So the end goal of the Christian life is loving union with God and a constant abiding in his presence. So one caveat before I get into this, we are dependent upon the Spirit to move us through this progression. We cannot sanctify ourselves. Apart from God, we can do nothing, but rest in the truth that he who began a good work in you will bring it through to completion. So if you need something to do like me, lest you fall into temptation or destruction or boredom, pray. Ask that the Lord would move you through these steps. So let's dive into the practice of abiding. We're going to start with our minds. A.W. Tozer said, "What comes into mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. We tend, by a secret law of the soul, to move toward our mental image of God." So first, we learn about God. We love him with our minds. Where do we learn him? We learn him in the scriptures. These are his self-revelation for us. They are the tuning ground to hear his voice, to know his character. It's where we learn the tone, timbre, and the sound of his voice. Jen Wilkins says, the heart cannot love what the mind does not know. So practically, how do we do this? We get in this book. We commit it to memory. We read large chunks at a time. You can use the Bible Project. You could read a chronological plan. You could do a Bible study where you get a deep dive into one book in particular. You can meditate on and memorize small chunks of scripture. We don't outgrow this step of the Christian walk. We don't learn enough and then graduate from the Bible. It does not happen. We come back to it and we move through it constantly. We have an infinite God. We could learn something new about him every day and we would never see the end of him. So we will never stop learning, but we also don't stop at learning. John Calvin wrote, "For the word of God is not received by faith if it flits about in the top of the brain, but when it takes root in the depth of the heart." There is danger at stopping at head knowledge, but it is oh so important that it informs and leads to our heart knowledge. So let's move into our heart knowledge. I'm going to spend a lot of our time here today because this is really what the Lord's been walking me through and teaching me, and I think there's a lot to unpack here. So first, relationships are built on communication. Sam Williamson says this, "It's perfectly ordinary for you and me to talk about normal stuff with our friends. So why not God? He isn't less of a person, he's more of a person. He isn't less interested, he's more interested. And he has a better attention span. God communicates to us first and foremost through his word, but he also speaks to us through his creation and his spirit." And there's a book, we gave it away earlier, but that I found super helpful. It's called Hearing God in Conversation. And a lot of the points that you'll see today come from this book. So if you want to dive in, please get it. It's great. But the gift of this book for me was that God wants a conversational relationship with his people. He really wants to talk to me as I go about my day. He invites me to abide in his presence continually. And that was great news. But my honest follow-up question was, does God speak to me enough that we could talk all day, every day? Like, does he really speak that often? And once I opened my heart to all the different ways that he speaks, I found that the answer is a resounding yes. I thought God only spoke in like really miraculous, obvious ways, or it was always a word, and I was missing his conversational whisper. He is already in everything that we do. The more we learn to seek him in everything, the more we will find him in everything. So here are some ways we can start to recognize God speaking. And these are on your notes if you want to follow along. The first is a responsive resonance. This is when our heart knows that something significant is happening. It may feel like a burning or a quickening or sensing a weightiness or importance about something. It could be a scripture that resonates or recognizing God's sovereign hand in the story of our lives. Like coincidental circumstances, like circumstances that are a little too good to be true. That's probably God speaking to you. Lessons we're learning that keep getting reiterated in different places through different mediums. Things we hear that stand out in our hearts, we can listen to those things, things that land with us. I've grown in sensitivity to this over time, and I hope I continue to grow in sensitivity to this. But it's come as like I've learned to trust my ability to hear God. The second point is a spontaneous nudging. Sometimes God will prompt our hearts to pray or to do something. You could wake up in the middle of the night or randomly have a friend cross your mind. We can't really predict this, but sometimes the Lord will just prompt us and tell us to do something or to pray. The third is direct words. So sometimes you will hear direct words that land in your heart. For me, this has never been auditory. I want to like put that out there of like, I've never heard the voice of God in my ear. It's always kind of been in my heart or in my mind, words that settle over me. But I'll get like a sentence or a phrase that kind of rattles around in my heart and it bears like a weightiness. And that feeling has shifted over time. Sometimes it's a weightiness, sometimes it's a burning. I don't know. That sounds weird, but there's a difference about how it sits in my heart. The fourth is unexpected memories. Sometimes the Lord stirs up a memory so we can seek healing or take action in some way, or maybe it'll serve a friend who's around us. This happens to me often while I'm in therapy or while I'm processing with friends. I'll completely forget something and then the Lord will bring it back and it's something that he wants to deal with or that'll serve the person that I'm with. The next is pictures. This is one of my favorites. Sometimes the Lord will put a picture or an image in our mind. For our C group, this often happens when we are doing birthday blessings. We'll get a picture that relates to scripture or something that's going on in that person's life. And it's just really sweet to watch those pan out. That actually happened in our C group this week. Recalled passages. So God frequently will bring passages to mind at the right times. It's God speaking to you. This is especially true if we're ardent memorizers. The more we steep ourselves in his word, the more this will happen for us. Next is visions and dreams. Like the first few points, I think sometimes we can get dreams or a vision that has like a particular weightiness or resonance or something that the Lord's trying to speak to us through it. He uses that to speak to us as well. The next is God-shaped thoughts. When we feel empty, sometimes the Spirit will shape a beautiful or maybe really obvious thought in our minds. I've had this happen where I'm like, that thought was like way too sweet to be my own, like way too pure, way too kind. Like that was the voice of God shaping my thoughts. So he can speak that way as well. And then the last, but most certainly not least, is insight into the scripture. And I think this one, if we can just bring our awareness to this, I think it will be really changing for how we hear the voice of God. God speaks through the Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures to us. So anytime we have that like aha moment while we're reading scripture, that is God speaking to you. So it may not be a specific word, but it's he's speaking to you by giving you understanding through his word. So God speaks to us in so many different ways. I think we often try to limit a limitless God. He can speak while we're listening to music or a sermon, driving to work, processing with friends, disciplining children. He is in all and through all. And there are infinite opportunities to hear his voice and see his hand at work in our stories. The problem isn't always that he's not speaking, though he doesn't always speak when we want him to. We don't control him in that way. I think sometimes it's our failure to recognize and to listen for his voice in places we wouldn't normally expect to find him. So there's an invitation to open our minds to the living God whose ways are higher than ours. Dallas Willard said, "Our failure to hear God has its deepest roots in a failure to understand, accept, and grow into a conversational relationship with God, the sort of relationship suited to friends." Conversation is the point. We were designed to walk in the garden with our Maker in uninterrupted union. So how do we initiate conversation with God? There are a few ideas, I think, that are great places to start. Again, not an all-inclusive list. But the first, meditate on the scriptures. Spend some time in a short passage. Chew on it as you go about your day. Bring your mind back to it throughout your week. If you have a reading plan, pray a verse or two that stuck out to you that day. As you go about your day and your week, invite God into those moments where you're chewing on his word. I promise you will hear him speak. The next seems really obvious, but it was a really important one for me. Just be yourself. Share your honest thoughts with God as you go about your day. Spoiler alert, he already knows them, right? Like, he is omnipresent. He's in everything already. So we might as well open it into a conversation. Most of the time, he has a gentle rebuke for me. Like, if I'm really frustrated in traffic, he will remind me that he is with me. And then I have to adjust my behavior accordingly in a good way. So just be yourself. There's a lot that he wants to do in and through that. Ask God questions. Just like you would a friend. Ask God about himself. Ask him for wisdom. What he thinks about certain things. I think this creates space for our hearts to listen and thus enter into a conversation. He won't always answer the way that you think. Pretty common that he flips the script on his people. We can go time and time again and see that, but I think just opening our hearts to receive whatever he has is really important. One trick that Sam offers is occasionally taking questions God asks of people in the Bible and asking them for himself, as though God was asking that of him in that moment. And I really like that. I've never done that until I read that, and it's powerful. Next is brainstorming with God. This one's really fun. Talk to him out loud or in your heart when you're processing or working through things. Ask him silly, seemingly meaningless questions and see if you can get a sense for his opinion. I definitely did this with a paint color the other week, and it turned out great, guys. I don't know. He cares about those things. He cares about the little nuances of our life. talk to him about a variety of things, not just holy things. The depth of our relational connection is shown in the breadth of what we talk about. He is always with you. Invite him into parts of your day that you normally wouldn't. Another one of my favorites is to get curious. Follow those questions that you have about him and ask him for answers. We need to allow our hearts to have questions about God and seek him for answers. Again, he may not answer in the way that we think, but he always has something for those who seek him. Cultivate a holy curiosity. And then the last point, which we're going to practice here at the end of this, is listening prayer. Sometimes we just need to lay aside our agenda and our need to speak and just listen. Let God go first. Quiet your mind and your heart before him and just listen for the sound of his voice. And we can do this for others too, which is also a really powerful practice. So before we can continually abide, I think we have to kind of navigate what relationship with him looks like. And learning how to recognize and seek out his voice is going to be a lifelong journey. If I could summarize all of this, I would just say, listen. Do your best to remove expectations and just receive with open hands what the creator of relationship has to offer you. The sweetest gift he offers you is moment by moment communion with him throughout the day. There are no prerequisites. You do not graduate in maturity to this. He just offers you lovingly to abide in his presence. So then we move into our souls. Okay, how do we do this? How do we move from our heart relational knowledge down deep into our souls? Brother Lawrence offers us a very simple picture. I worshiped him as often as I could, keeping my mind on his holy presence. Whenever I noticed that my mind had wandered, I brought it back to him. I found this very difficult, and yet I continued in the practice without feeling guilty when my mind wandered involuntarily. I make this my constant exercise all the day long, whether I was in the appointed time of prayer or not. At all times, every minute of every hour, even at the busiest time of my work, I drove my mind from everything that was capable of interrupting my thought of God. This third point is very simple and straightforward. If nothing else, hear this. The invitation is as simple and as sweet as just bringing our minds back to God. Anytime we feel our minds drifting from his presence, we gently nudge them back. We remember our dependence. We remain in the truth of the gospel. We rejoice in him. We invite him into seemingly insignificant things. We delight in him throughout our days. We ask him questions, and we're open to whatever answer he gives us. Rarely does he show up and speak in any way that we would expect. So, like I said, this is a practice. It's a slow and learned one. For me, it started with talks in the car. I would pretend like I was talking on the phone, so I didn't like a total loon talking out loud to myself in the car. But it's actually grown into more moments throughout my day. I now love to imagine having dance parties with God. I think Jesus is a Justin Bieber fan too. I stand by this. And it's actually really fun. And I think it's a good practice of delighting in the humanity of God. We don't always have to approach our relationship with him somberly or seriously. We can invite him into everything. We don't just have to invite him into the holy things. He is omnipresent. He is already in the joy as much as the sorrow of your life. We often fear inviting him into the playful parts, but Jesus laughed. He went to weddings. People called him a glutton and a drunkard. He knew how to have fun. He invented it. So I think more importantly, he also knew how to be a friend. And I think He's definitely holy, friends. And there are going to be times where we just need to take our sandals off and bow our heads to the ground in repentance before our God. There are also times we just need to walk in the garden with our Maker or dance with him. We have a multifaceted God, and Scripture provides stories of fear and trembling in the presence of God, as well as deep friendship with him. I think to have a healthy and mature faith, we need both. And it's okay if this feels clunky or awkward at times. You will fail earnestly at this. Sometimes you will show up to have a normal conversation with God, and what you need to do is be on your face in repentance. Sometimes you will show up on your face and he will offer you his hand and invite you up for a walk with him. Learning how to relate to him rightly is going to be a lifelong endeavor. So, fail earnestly, my friends. Do it continually. Learn, get back up, and grab his loving hand and try again. In Matthew 7, Jesus promises, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds." So whether you are starting to receive the gift of abiding or wanting to actively practice abiding in God's presence every moment of every day, you are going to work out the nuances of this. I will work out the nuances of this over time in the company of other saints. Abiding is the work of the Christian life. Together, we will learn how to better live with open hearts in the presence of God, how to listen to him in those middle moments, how to cultivate intimate friendship and remain rooted in his love. Women of Frontline South, we do not need more women who know information about God or serve around him. We need women who abide and delight in friendship and intimacy with God. To close, Dr. Julie Slattery says this: "You have longings to share your heart, your soul, and body with another person because God made you a deeply relational and spiritual woman. Your greatest need for intimacy, however, is to know the God who created you." So to close, I want to leave us with some invitations to abide where we are. We all came into this room with different stories. We're at different places, different ages. And I think God has something for each and every one of us uniquely. So let me read this over you. To the woman who has survived abuse and wrestles with being intimately known by God, he is safe, loving, patient, and kind. He is gentle and lowly in heart. He knows your trauma, and he is grieved over it. He is with you in it, and he offers the blood from his very own wounds to cover you, to heal you, and offer you wholeness. Abide in him. To the woman whose relationships are disappointing and unsatisfying, you have a friend who will never leave you nor forsake you. He knows you better than you will ever know yourself, and he's inviting you to know him too. What a friend you have in Jesus. Abide in him. To this single woman, overwhelmed by sexual desire or aching for a hand to hold, God wants to meet you in your deepest desire to be united in perfect love. Your soul will find its satisfaction in intimacy with God. The arms of your first love are open wide. Abide in him. To the woman struggling with her sexuality, you are already fully known and loved by your Maker. Allow his perfect love to wash over you and cast out fear. Bring all of you to his feet. It may take time, but know that he is patient. Abide in him. To the woman lonely in marriage, your soul's deepest desires, the ones just beyond your husband's reach, can only be touched by God. He offers you the love and intimacy marriage can only be a picture of. He offers you the real thing. Abide in him. To the woman in the throes of motherhood, you will find rest and satisfaction for your soul's deepest needs in relationship with God. He offers you respite in the chaos, a support in times of trouble, strength for your weakness, and a close friend in your loneliness. Abide in him. To the woman who is acutely aware of the lack of little feet pattering across your kitchen floor, God offers you the sweetest comfort and solace in your pain and your longing. He wants to meet you in your heartache, share your sorrows, and offer his love as a balm for your soul. Abide in him. And lastly, but most certainly not least, to the empty nester, feeling the loudness of silence, missing the chaos, or unsure of what this next season looks like, God wants to keep you company, talk with you throughout the day, and be your closest friend. He will never leave you. He is unchanging, even in the midst of changing seasons. He offers you his steady hand. Abide in him. Let's pray. Father, we come before you with open hearts, and we ask that you would speak. Show us what it means to abide every moment of every day. God, bring your presence into this place. Speak. If we've never heard you before, let today be the day that our ears are opened to hear your voice and to recognize you. Father, I pray that we become women who are tethered to the presence of God, who remain in his presence every moment of every day and enjoy deep, love-filled communion that overflows and blesses the world. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. So now we're going to move into a time of practicing listening prayer. I know for especially the moms in the room, you may not get 15 minutes of silence in your day. You have 15 minutes of silence here that we've carved out for you. And we want to just give you some space to practice. There'll be some music on your notes on the very back. There's a guide if you need some help getting started. But feel free to just spread out in this room. You can go into the den if you'd like and just find a place where you can quiet your heart before the Lord and hear what he has to say. And I will say, you may experience a range of emotions around this depending on where you are with this practice. I want to remind you that God is omnipresent. He is already in it. He knows how you feel. And if you don't know where to start, maybe start there, just unpacking those emotions with him. And then listening for his voice in it. So, Father, speak to us. We are your humble servants, beloved daughters, and dear friends. We want to hear your voice. Spirit, move among us. Give us eyes to see you in this place and in our lives. Give us ears to hear your whisper, and give us hearts that seek you and love you above all else. Amen. Yeah, so just take some time, spread out, and we'll have some people up for prayer at the end if you need some time to pray to process. We will gather us back together, so don't worry about, don't leave. So, thanks, guys.